the babies are made. And that's a very nice robe you have there.
All right. So, first question, do I need a crazy straw to properly consume this? Because it looks like I do.
It needs to be the color pink, and it needs to somehow
be related have to penises.
Flair.
It needs to have a penis on it somewhere. I mean, that's what you're asking, right? Do you need a penis straw?
If that's where your mouth is going, it's gotta go.
I assume, just knowing you as well as I do, Smike.
It's an interesting drink that we have here. Also, an interesting guest do we have here?
Yes.
There's a third person.
No, we've just finally perfected ventriloquism.
It's really easy when there's nobody watching.
That's true. But it's a stereo microphone, so we actually have to literally throw our voice in the middle so that it can pick us up.
I like.
So we can all crowd around Justin here. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hey, everybody. Hello,
hi.
World.
Hello, world. We are buddies in space. You are
S. Michael Smith. You are
M. Michael Crossy, and you
this is
are
J. Ooston Woodhouse.
Nice.
Oh yeah, you're prepared.
Nice.
Would you say that you've done preparative research?
That exactly. I stuttered a lot, and no, I actually just listened to your guys' podcast back to back to back. And
well, that's one.
Yeah, that's really all you needed to do.
And after the room stopped spinning,
be louder.
Bumblebee.
Oh.
Right project. Here, from here, lower.
Project.
Right here. Use the diaphragm.
I'm going to have some more drink here.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah, so let's start with the drink, and then we'll get to the guests.
I'm still afraid of this.
Well, I got to be honest. The way that this drink manifested is I had a title, a phrase in my head, and I said, that will be the drink. And not knowing any basis as to how I was going to be mixing ingredients or preparing.
There will be drink.
All right, because you sent Mr. Karasi here a recipe initially.
Wow.
And then Karasi forwarded it to me.
I
you
insisted.
You asked me, okay.
Yeah, because of your deadly sin allergies. I don't know, somehow that just became a thing.
Right,
so,
pointing a lot for those of you out here that can't see it. We're pointing while we're talking.
Karasi forwarded me the recipe and said, is there anything here that's going to kill you? And, of course, my response was, after looking at this, well, I don't know, I might die of diabetes after I drink it.
But it helps the research.
Uh-huh.
You need to get it in order for people to test on you.
So go on.
So anyway, the name of the drink is Bowser's Bed and Breakfast.
Coined by you?
I think so, unless someone else out there came up with it. And it was just, I didn't Google this.
I doubt that anyone is going to coin this exact list of ingredients with the same name. So we're going to say this is a Justin Woodhouse original.
My stream of consciousness was something geeky. I really like video games. I used to play Super Mario Brothers a lot. Bowser's pretty cool. Let's work with that. I like Peach. Hey, he likes this girl named Princess Peach. So
that's like an A to G.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate improv extrapolation.
Okay.
That's legit.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
It's all in there. So my biggest obstacle.
And alliteration, obviously.
Was there a litter?
Bowser's Bed and Breakfast.
Oh.
It's
molten golden notes.
It's highly, I don't know about you, but I find this drink highly alliterative.
You need to lift your pinky before you take a sip. Thank you. That's how you do this.
This is my first drink.
I think the kombucha really helps.
Mellow it.
Yeah.
Because it is very peachy.
It's actually not bad.
Oh,
hey!
It looks terrifying.
It looks like Ecto Cooler.
Yeah.
Like a darker... Like more
sinister,
muted.
Fire breathing.
This looks like something out of like a sci-fi movie that has smoke coming out of it that someone's drinking like a potion or in a fantasy movie. I'm like,
dry
actually,
ice. That's what this thing needed. Dry
Prince
ice.
Of Darkness.
Oh, here we go.
No, it's that. It's the stuff that was in the giant cylinder.
Is it? Is that what? It is?
Yes.
It's this exact it's that stuff, same guys. Green. I didn't even make this. I just brought it.
Got it. Pick some up from John Carpenter, and there you go.
John Carpenter's Bed and Breakfast.
Doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Not as well, John Carpenter.
But yeah, I can see this is a thick drink.
It is.
And I can see stuff swirling around in it.
Just
like in Prince of Darkness.
Yes.
Exactly.
The peach is what really, because I think whatever I used, it was that cheap Goya peach nectar. mm-hmm. which I didn't realize nectar also included pulp, but apparently oh, yeah. it does.
That's oh, yeah. what's in a Bellini.
Oh.
That's peach nectar and...
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Bellinis are great. They're second in Smike's book only to a Bloody Mary, which is second only to a Caesar. So they're third in Smike's book.
Did you guys have one? No, you guys had a Chicago. You guys call it a Chicago, but it was like a Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. It was a Midwestern Manhattan.
Yeah. So what was in that?
That you didn't like it.
Which one was that?
It was like bourbon instead of... it was when I made that Manhattan that was like a little too sweet for you, I think, because I used bourbon in it.
Maybe.
It was Midwestern, so you couldn't call it Manhattan, so you called it Chicago instead.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. He really knows our podcast.
Well, just recently, you know. Short-term memories there. Do you guys have Bloody Marys yet on this show?
I think we did Caesars.
We did Caesars, which is better than Bloody Mary.
Okay. Yeah, I have to agree. As disgusting as they sound,
are you familiar with the Caesar?
No. Well, wow. It's. I'm intrigued.
All right. It's to recap for you, because you'll be listening to this again.
I will.
The Caesar is the Bloody Caesar is the Canadian version, upgraded version of a Bloody Mary.
So it's a Bloody Mary with free healthcare. It's really all it is.
Was this the same conversation arc that also included poutine?
Maybe.
That he didn't know, Karazi didn't know, but Smike, you knew?
We talk about
Canada a lot. Because you must know what it is.
I know very well what poutine is.
Okay. Because you look like you might not.
What the fuck does that mean? You
it's putting you on the defensive early.
Me as someone who visually does not know what poutine is.
Anyway,
I say the nay.
The Caesar, the main and really only difference in the Caesar is that instead of tomato juice, they use clamato.
That's right. So I kind of have a pseudo story about clamato.
Oh, all right.
Ooh.
So we loved clamato stories.
Budweiser has a drink.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep.
That has clamato in it.
Yes.
Is it the bullshit?
But then it also has beer mixed in with it.
Yeah, which sounds terrible.
Which, like, first of all, clamato, what are you thinking, right? You're taking tomato juice, which is fine on its own. You're putting clam juice in it.
But have you had it?
I didn't.
Okay.
But,
so you're hating me, but you don't know.
I was at this party, and we like to play this game called Pain. It's a wonderful game.
I have some guesses as to how this works.
Take a deck of cards.
Okay.
And you pick out 13 of the most random, both sides of the spectrum, sweet, salty, nasty, whatever. Just needs to contain alcohol. And you put them on the table.
Why are we not playing this right now?
Because it would probably kill you.
And I mean, we had stuff like, you know, original Four Locos on the table.
Oh,
and the size doesn't matter. You could have, you know, a regular 12-ounce beer, like a Labatt Blue Light, whatever. And then, you know, you can have like malt liquors. Like there was a Hurricane on the table.
Nice.
And we're mixing these too, which I'll get to in a moment.
Oh, no.
So up until this time, this is probably about the fifth time I've played it. Because after you play it, you need about, you know, either a day or two in the ICU or you just need to hibernate for a few days. But the way it works is each drink, 13, is assigned to a particular number or number or value, like king, queen, jack, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go around the room, you know, around the table, and depending on how many people there are, you pull a card. And that card will be assigned to a particular drink along the line. If it's the first card, you can take as little or as much of that drink as you want. If you get the fourth card, you need to finish whatever is left. So as you can see, the more favorite mellow beers, those tend to, people do their duty. They do their work. We call it doing work. You better do work on that drink. For some reason, somebody found this Clamato beer amalgamation from hell. And obviously, when people got it, they were taking tiny little two-drop baby sips out of this giant 24-ounce can. And it came down to the... So one person had to tap out. There were three of us. And one person, because of just the sheer amount of weird alcohol mixtures going on, they needed to tap out or they were going to puke. So me and one of my buddies are head-to-head. The Clamato, for some reason, is still surviving towards the end. Of course, right? It just had to. Came down to the last two cards. So my buddy had to draw it before me. And we even played a game where we're like, you know, let's just shuffle them down here and let's just pick it. Because the person basically needs to chug this Clamato. Yeah. Thankfully, I did not pick it.
Ah.
And watching this person have to drink this was probably one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life.
Was it someone you hated?
No, he's actually a very good friend. Okay. I'm actually going to be in his wedding coming up. But,
And this story will be told. Is this just practice for your best man speech?
Yes. But so that's Pain. It's a great game if you want to make frenemies. And I highly recommend it.
I will not be playing that game, but thank you. Now, when you drink like an adult at some point, I would recommend Clamato with vodka.
But not Budweiser.
But no. But yeah, I think that's a derivative of the Bullshot. I remember making Bullshots for people in New York, and I'm pretty sure that was like V8 and Budweiser.
Oh, but you, still, like, it's
Tabasco in it. And
I can deal with that. It's the clam juice. That just does not belong.
Like, but it belongs in the Caesar.
In the Caesar, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
As long as you can't taste it, I don't want it to be like the front row. It's just kick you in the taste buds.
It's thick salt. That's all it
gives.
Tastes like.
Yeah, it gives it some body and it gives it a salty.
It's slightly viscous. There's nothing clam about it. It's just slightly viscous and salty.
I think you guys are telling me a fish story.
No. If we ever go to Toronto together, I mean, when I go to Toronto, I always have to go and get at least one or two Caesars.
What I'm about to tell you is not true at all. So Smike has a map, and he has push pins on the wall of all the best Caesar joints. And sometimes he'll have like that weird conspiracy theory thing happening where like he ties strings. Yeah, he ties the yarn, and he like links it to the different types of items.
That's not at all true.
That got I prefaced with that. So you know what? Yeah. Oh my God, I just figured out. If you preface with that, you can fucking say whatever you want. Literally, whatever you want. Smike, what I'm about to tell you is not true. Justin has sex with goats. It is not true at all.
Yes, it's definitely not true.
Anyway, the truth on the Clamato thing is I have an app for that. I don't need push pins. That's silly. Why would you even say that?
For the mental image.
I'm just picturing a pentagram made from yarn connecting all of the places together.
With like Clamato juice sprayed across the blood.
It's...
You can sacrifice the goat after I'm done with it.
I'm a modern techie guy. I have that in the cloud, okay? I don't need it on a blackboard or whatever.
Guys, all I'm saying is my Clamato disaster recovery is amazing. Totes amazing. Instantaneous virtualization of all Clamato applications.
Bicoastal clam juice.
Oh, absolutely. With Midwest redundancy.
Yes, of course. Of course.
And that's enough of that.
Yes.
So, is it safe to say you kind of... You're a man of many worlds.
Well, I am a man.
So you seem to be, it's sometimes in the geek world, other times in the more bro-ish world.
Can I actually jump onto this before you answer
Please
that?
Please do.
No, this is good. I'm glad you brought this up.
We're just going to tear away all the layers.
I need to be called out. This is
we
good.
We haven't even pointed out the fact you're wearing a Batman robe.
But peel this layer back and there's a button-down, sensible, adult, professional shirt.
It's layers upon layers of slayers. So, and now we're in Buffyverse. So, we had a nickname for you. So you came to us via my wife. You and Erica go way back.
Yes.
You used to all party together with your group. And so, as you started making inroads into, like, our group, right, the world's intersecting... I remember you being very earnestly being like, can you invite me to your board game events? Like, this is something I really like. And I was actually like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. You were like the cool guy to hang out with who didn't seem very geeky. But we noticed that.
And you mean that as a compliment.
I do mean that as a compliment. Because I look like someone who doesn't know what poutine is, motherfucker. I am Sicilian. I hold on to a grudge.
The sooner you accept.
So we called you the ninja.
Wow.
Because it was like you would throw a smoke bomb at one of these parties and just be gone.
Wow.
So for the first like 3 or 4 board gaming events, back when we used to have them more often, so someone would be like, where did that Justin guy go? And be like, oh, he had another party to go to. We're like, what? I didn't even see him leave. So it just became a joke for a while that you were the ninja.
There was a good...
segues into that.
No, there was a good 5-year period, and we'll get to Smike's accusation here, but there was a good...
Observation.
Clamato. Clamato, Clamato. There was a good 5-year period where I was triple booking myself a lot because there were a lot of things I enjoyed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem is that I lacked embracing one of those paths and I really wanted to. So like the geek path where you basically, there's leanings towards certain genres and things that you do like board gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the key to being that is specialization. Like, when you go on to, like, you just dived 15 layers deep into a subject, because that's just what you do. When you enjoy it, you embrace it, and you dive into it. And that's, like, I'm just kind of still on the upper crust soil surface while you're down on the mantle, like, chiseling down and making the dwarven ruins.
He does that, too.
Okay, well, I don't pick on Smek. I pick on you.
Well, but we're not, I don't think that is
I am fair game tonight.
Yeah. I don't know, you usually get picked on, though, so I wanted to change it up.
No, he listens to the podcast.
Observation. Observation.
Okay.
Not accusation.
That's my job.
So, yeah, just, I guess, to answer your observation, accusation, questionation.
Clamato-nation.
Absolutely. Your observation is spot on. I do have a Venn diagram, I guess, of circles of friends that intersect on certain levels, and then on other levels they just would never. Whenever I used to have parties where I would invite different peoples from these circles, I would call it a worlds collide party because I literally would not know how these people would interact with each other.
That's pretty cool. And how did that go down?
Yeah. So there were a couple parties that I've had, and both the first one was just, it blew my mind how well everybody gelled together. Nice. Because I guess despite the differences in people's personalities and interests, the core level of the type of people that I gravitate towards are generally good people, not assholes. So, okay. At least for the most part.
I wasn't there, Smike. Stop looking at me.
I had to get my first vulgarity in there.
Nah, no problem.
Cock. Balls. I still have yet to curse on TV because it hasn't.
Balls isn't a swear word.
I was just quoting Wedding Crashers. Oh, no, yeah. No.
Earmuffs.
Yeah, what was that? Not Wedding Crashers. Old School.
Yes, Old School. Great movie.
So, okay, so let's delve into this. I also have a Venn diagram, but it's my geek, nerd, jock. Mm. It's something I'm like very passionate about that very few people agree with now because of the Nerdist.
Yes.
They co-opted nerd to geek, or apparently if on the West Coast, it was always like that.
I can't listen to that podcast.
Really?
I can't. And what's funny is that I really, like, I knew Chris Hardwick when he was on MTV, right? When he was
Single
a host.
Out.
Right. And then he kind of fell off the map for me. And meanwhile, he's doing all these things.
He was an alcoholic for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he, like, put on, like, 100 pounds. And like,
whoa.
Yeah, he was really not good shape. And then he finally figured his shit out. And now he's a billionaire.
Well, good for him. I still hate him. But anyway, just, like, I didn't know who he was, and then a couple of my friends, Tom and Rhea, we started watching The Walking Dead together, mm-hmm. and obviously you know where that's going, yep. But, then also the show They Doesn't Comedy Central.
At Midnight?
Yes. That I actually enjoyed, mm-hmm. because it was less about him and more about the other comedians.
Colin can't watch that anymore. He's so burned out on it.
Really?
Watched a bunch, he's like, I can't stand the
yes.
show anymore.
Yes. Like, but that's the only way I can take him is in those smaller, okay. I mean, mm-hmm. it is still, spotlight is kind of on him, but I think the comedians do a good job of taming him.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
With whatever the repartee is.
So Erica listens to a lot of podcasts. And so we often compare Marc Maron podcasts to Chris Hardwick podcasts, because Chris Hardwick gets great guests. Granted, Marc Maron had the fucking president, so he kind of wins. But Marc Maron will ask really fucking tough questions. And at the same time as being known somewhat as a hard ass and a real interviewer. Like, remember how Barbara Walters used to be like, oh, she asked the tough questions
mm-hmm.
back in the day? I know that that's maybe generational.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're old, Mike. Because you're 10 years older than the
Fair
other
enough.
Kid.
Yeah.
And I'm not that political.
but Marc Maron will get, and this is Erica's observation, she's absolutely right. Like, Marc Maron will delve into a person and he will get people to open up in a way that doesn't even necessarily feel obtrusive, which is what I'm trying to do with you. But I'm telling you it, so it's fine. But Chris Hardwick, the reason I'm not into the Nerdist that much is he doesn't ask good questions.
He just
wants to be liked by everybody.
He,
you know?
Sounds like I just went into my podcast app and put it to like x3 speed. And I just can't handle I don't know if it's just the way he's...
It's the stream of consciousness thing? Because he has little nervous breakdowns and he verbalizes it. So you're just sitting there kind of listening to him have a little mental freak out loud, and then he kind of gets it together. And you're like, okay, you did that in a previous episode.
Yeah.
Granted, he records a lot. Okay, enough
about
that.
But anyway, so yeah, we'll move past that. But understanding, so we're going back to, we were talking about, you had your Venn diagram of geek, nerd.
Yeah, but before that, oh. so you had a party with a multiple Venn circles yes. that were intersecting at this party.
Yes.
And it worked.
It did.
Okay.
I did have multiple activities going on. So we had like beer pong in one room,
okay.
board gaming going on in another room, which I know just is mind blowing, right? Because why would you be playing beer pong when there's a board game going on in the other room? I got to tell you, this party, while it was great, everyone loved it, I was actually kind of like, I didn't have fun at it.
Oh,
because I wanted to be in all of these rooms at the same time and I couldn't, or at least not focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the reality of my life was kind of personifying itself, like,
oh, there are issues with this.
Yeah, so anyway, but
do you think that,
so that's like me at a board game party where I don't have a good time because I always want to be playing all the different board games. A little bit more of a narrow version of that, but
yeah, no, that's totally well, parallel.
We have multiple board games going on. Again, it's that degree of specialization and specification, right?
And well, and all the passive aggressiveness of like, so what does everybody want to play? And in your mind, you're just like, libertarian, 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 libertarian. Yeah. No, seriously, I don't really care. Libertarian, 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 libertarian.
Well, you know what we didn't play?
It's like, let's play House on Haunted Hill. Okay.
Okay.
Fuck you.
I guess it's all right. Oh my God, I'm going to die. It's size my party. Why can't I play the game I want to play? You fucking asshole. Let's play this game. Ah.
Oh. I feel like there's got to be a solution.
Can you give him a hug there? I think he needs a hug. There we go.
Everything's going to be okay. We might play Libertaria later tonight.
Well, we're going to play Libertalia, but you can play Libertaria if you want.
Did I call it Libertaria? Did I just like give this thing like a left lean or
yeah.
a middle lean?
It's Libertaria, the game. I play Bernie Sanders.
I got my registered vote card.
Oh, Hillary Clinton's camp took it away. I lived in Brooklyn. Sorry, you lost the right to vote. So what I'm wondering about is this party that was success. So I'm assuming you've tried this in some parties and it has not worked.
Not ones that I've organized, but I've definitely been to parties that were a little too focused on the one circle of the Venn diagram, I guess. Where
but had a mix of people.
It. Well, I'm trying to think of times where I've been in with mixes of people. It was really not. Everyone else is pretty much just hangs out with their own.
Okay, so middle school, the cafeteria.
Well, no, just like their own circle.
Oh, at the party, you mean?
Or just whatever activity it is, whether it's kickball league or hanging out at the bar mm-hmm. or going to Gen Con. Like, that's just a week of board gaming nonstop. So yeah. It's like, it's hard to kind of see. Now, of course, they'll have like, hey, let's go out to a bar one night. And they'll hang out, but it's not like, let's go out to a bar tonight. You know, like, there's just two ways to experience.
What I'm getting from this is that board gamers have very high-pitched voices.
That's the only thing I've got. I was trying to use emphasis, not volume.
No, it's just, it was, I'm a board gamer, let's go to a bar. I'm going to go out to a bar. Probably whip my dick out, because that's what I do when I have
you know, you're not far from the distinction I was trying to make.
I partied at fraternities for many years in college, I remember. And I remember being like, I am a fish out of fucking water at these things, but who cares? There's a lot of girls here. Woo!
But here's where the hopefully happy ending comes into play, is that...
Not it.
Well, you guys did put my chair in the middle between you two, so...
Yeah, and are we not going to talk about the fact that his dick's hanging out? Or?
And which way am I facing more? I'm just saying. Just that now, like, that part, like, that particular circle is fading away. So I just don't have that interest anymore. So whether it's just age or just making an internal decision, I think I'm trying to finally embrace the geek. Need it.
I think,
I'm just an eek.
I think that... geekdom and being a geek is far more prevalent. So I remember being a very overweight, unpopular, poor video gaming kid, right? As like a preteen, and you know, just being picked on constantly, right? And I know for a fact that people who picked on me now play video games, right? Maybe they played them in the frat house with their boys when they were playing Halo, but they were still gaming. So it's odd. It's not odd. It's great, right? That the embracement of being geeky has proliferated over the years. I think that Smike and I, we've talked about this. We have that, and I certainly do have that, like, kind of like life raft thing. Where mm-hmm. it's like, fuck you guys.
And you know what? Well, that's part of my hesitation for wanting to publicly embrace it, because I want to do it now. I've kind of made that decision, but now I feel like if I just, I'm out there and I'm geek, baby. I kind of feel like, yeah, hop on the wagon. We're going ahead. Everybody hop in, you know. It is, though. That's everything. It's being popularized.
You're right. And I have a good analogy for that. But what, I'm sorry, Smike, what were you
going to
say?
I was just going back to my own college experience, which was nothing like that. I went to a very already geeky, nerdy sort of school. Mm. And we didn't even have fraternities there. So
where was that?
Grinnell College.
Okay.
In the middle of Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
1,200 students.
He majored in gremlin herding at Grinnell.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
So, kombucha. Yeah, on the any ducks. Given night, you could just walk through the dorms and, like, everybody would be playing bridge or something.
You had Star Trek house, right? And, like, Asian house. Yeah. And, like, it was, like, super...
That's pretty awesome.
It was interest. Holodeck house.
Holodeck, let's, I'm sorry. That's right. Course, yes, of course,
I remember hearing that. I'm trying to get that wrong.
Like, what do you even do in Holodeck House? Like, because anything can go, right?
I guess.
Exactly.
Sandy Beach?
What you don't realize is, see, people hear that and think, oh, it's a bunch of Star Trek nerds. It's a fucking nonstop orgy. All the time.
Oh, I can see that.
Holodeck? Come on. What are you going to do without? It's like the danger room.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the danger room? Oh, no. Professor X, all the robots suck dicks.
Yep.
Oh, we're being overwhelmed.
Yep.
I really want to see that X-Men issue. So let me, do you watch Portlandia?
I have watched the first season, some of the second season, and then there was a time I couldn't get to sleep, so I wanted to properly disturb myself, so I just picked random episodes.
Did you see the public service announcement about Geekdom? They had a PSA about geeks.
No, I did not see that.
Okay, so I want to address this. I think it's a fair concern. Having hung out with you, I would say that you do not need to worry because you are legitimately geeky. That could be a negative connotation. That's up to you. But this is a really great PSA. Have we shown it to you?
Maybe. I can't think of it offhand.
So I saw the hipster one where the guy like was a hipster, but then he slowly became like a bro. A bro.
Adam Sandberg.
And they completely had a role reversal.
The Adam Sandberg episode where he was the bartender.
Maybe.
Yeah, he like started out with like a super hipster, like hand shaven orange peel coffee drink, and then by the end he's working in like Daytona. Like at a party.
I remember the scene was a guy was on a bike outside staring into either a bar or a
restaurant.
Oh,
no, that's the bike guy. Yeah, yeah. And then he switches. And then No, that's, so, yeah, okay.
Anyways, going back to the geek.
So this is a stereotypical Brooklyn hot girl with ugging herself up with big glasses. Okay, so it's her in a bar. And she's just sitting there. She has like a I Heart Nerds t-shirt on. And she's like, I love video games. And she's like saying nothing. And then it cuts to... Every guy I hung out with in high school, overweight, not well-kempt, scraggly beard, large glasses, and he just kind of looks at the... And he just galumps around when he walks, and he looks at the camera. You know, the galump walk.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know how else to describe it. And he goes like... You know, he basically says like, I am a true nerd. I think he says nerd, but it's Portlandia, so it's West Coast. I'm an actual nerd. Like, I was picked on as a kid. I like things like Star Trek and blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing. But he's like, please don't pretend to be me. Like, you're taking the one thing I have away from me by doing this, so don't be her, was the gist. It was really well done. It was true.
Yes.
That's not what you're doing. So okay. There's nothing wrong with... What's wrong is jumping on the bandwagon to jump on the bandwagon.
Sure. That's, oh, absolutely.
I think everyone agrees that's just fucking shitty to do.
Yeah.
Smike, I'm looking at you. We all know you don't wear glasses.
This is getting very judgmental.
Actually, enjoying geeky stuff and I wanted to hang out. I mean, it's not like you show up at a board game event and then you're on your cell phone the whole time. Like, right. You actually play games. Right. So no, you have nothing to worry about.
There's a definite air mental of note. Snobbishness to this, to where you're going with this.
Well, it's a label, right?
It is.
I think I'm being pretty accepting for geekdom.
You would say somebody who's like, oh yeah, I'm into board games. I played Settlers of Catan several times. You would just probably come down on this person like, no, you're not really a board game person.
But did they really play Settlers of Catan?
Well, okay.
I mean,
maybe they did.
I think
they,
you're missing.
They did.
Okay, then.
But is that not enough in your view?
Are they
for them?
Well, okay. There's a lot of
to have any sort of claim to the culture.
Of playing Settlers of Catan, or are they claiming like, oh, I know all about board games. I played Settlers 3 times. That's 2 very different things. So
they're
what is
ambassadors.
You're saying?
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure where we're drawing the line here.
Yeah.
Well, here, I've got a question for you. So,
okay. All right.
So based on your feeling that you have a general acceptance level of bringing people into the fold, as it were.
Who actually want to be there
right,
and aren't
right.
doing it for the wrong reasons. That's the only
what
thing
are I'm... the wrong reasons, though? What?
Oh, I want to sit here and actually not participate at all and talk to anyone but play on my cell phone while we're playing this board game. But
you
I want
mean
to be
like
able to claim...
you do?
Don't worry, Pathfinder?
Yes.
Do I play my turns, though?
You do.
Well, answer my question, though. Do I actually play my turns? Do I know what's going on in the game? Do I understand how to play it? Have I played 30 or 40 nights of it?
Yes, you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I check out on some nights. Guess who else does that with Pad? If you're going to throw stones, Mike.
So I a great way to cloak that is only play games where they have corresponding apps that goes with the games, like House on Haunted Hill. Am I saying
that
game correctly?
Not, Betrayal at House
Betrayal.
On the Hill. Betrayal at House on the Hill.
There's also an expansion that just came out.
Yeah, he sent
I
out
I really
the link.
Want to play it.
Yeah,
yes.
Cool.
There's also
you
an expansion.
Sent that to us, didn't you?
No, in my mind I did, but wow,
no,
that's
you,
weird.
You
it
sent it
went.
To us.
No,
oh,
I
got it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Somebody else did.
Guess who's taking their phone out?
Maybe it was my wife, or did you send it to Erica or something? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't remember, but either way, the other one that has an expansion coming out is Eldritch Horror. And I know we had this giant conversation at the end of the double birthday board game, not so much board game bash.
And Mike introduced us to Witch of Salem?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if I played, but weren't you talking about Elder Sign?
Elder Sign's had a bunch of expansions.
That's a great
expansions.
One. That one's a little less intensive.
So Eldritch yeah. Horror, so there's Witch of Salem, Eldritch Horror, and Elder Sign?
And then there's all, Arkham Horror.
Well, they're all derivatives of Arkham Horror, right?
Yes. Well Arkham Horror right. just is horrible.
We, yeah. You're not fans of Arkham
Elder,
Horror.
Elder Sign is actually the oh my, TSW, is that right?
What's TSW?
The company.
Oh.
TSR?
No.
No, it's not. TSR got bought by Wizards
right.
of the Coast.
No, I think it's TSW or something. It's T something. I get my gaming companies mixed up. Sorry, geeks.
Inexcusable.
So, yeah.
If anyone listened to this podcast...
Arkham Horror is like the big bad granddaddy of the Cthulhu Mythos board game.
And it's not fun to play. That's the problem.
So many people love it.
I don't know why.
I think they're pretending.
It's so good, though. I just love H.P. Lovecraft. It's just anything about it. It could be a horrible game, but I'm still going to at least experience it once just because it's Cthulhu.
Because it's obnoxiously difficult to play.
Yes.
And it's one of those games where, in addition to being difficult, there's not a lot you can do to influence whether you're going to win the game or not.
Yeah, I mean, you get stuck in the whatever other world, and you're just there for three turns. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You're just missing that time in the game.
It's not co-op, it's co-miseration.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way to describe it. That's certainly been my opinion of it. But, Smike, I want to go back to this. So, because I feel like you're missing what I'm saying.
All right.
Which you are wont to do.
It's my job to give you a hard time. I don't want
well,
you to forget
I think
that.
It's only fair. It's not much a hard time. I can't find this. I'm pretty sure you were the one who said, hey guys, look, this is coming out. And I got really excited. There's a big difference between pretending to be a geek and just getting into it.
Okay.
So if someone's like, I really like board games now. I played Settlers late a couple times and it's awesome. Then I would be like, I have 15 games I would like to tell you about. Let's discuss.
Okay.
But if there's some dude or chick in large fucking glasses that I know they don't need to wear who's like, oh, I'm a total board gamer. Oh, what have you played? You know, I'm a big gamer too. Oh, yeah, I totally play Settlers all the time.
Are there really people like that, though? Is this... I mean, have you encountered people like this?
I lived in Brooklyn.
All right. Well, I didn't, so...
Remember my iPod check story? I had songs on my iPod I didn't like because people would randomly check my fucking iPod. It's a fucked up culture, and it still is. But, yeah, I mean, you don't know. You're old, too old. How many female friends? No. You'll understand.
Wow.
How many female friends do you know suddenly have the large, ugly glasses?
Everywhere I look.
Everywhere you look.
So, to be fair, I'm still a student. I'm a part-time student at the U of R.
Uh-huh.
And on campus, everyone there is about a decade younger than
right.
me. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. They're just wearing it. I really just want to walk up to one of these girls. Take off their glasses
yeah.
and be like, I guarantee you that these are not prescription. I'm going to put them on and they're not going to be prescription glasses.
Yeah, it's true.
But
pretending to geekdom is a horrible thing in my mind because of the age group I come out of. Nowadays, it isn't that big a deal
it
because
just
it's
seems
way more accepting.
Bizarre to me that somebody would do that. I don't understand.
Portlandia had a PSA. It's not like I'm just making this up.
But I'm wondering, where was the bridge? What bridged these two worlds? Do you think that it was...
Millennials. I mean, in terms of age group, or...
Or, like, shows, media, video games. Like, there has to be something that has bridged that gap.
Big Bang Theory.
That, you know what? I think that's a big player.
Yeah,
huge player. You're right.
Because that brought nerddom to the masses.
It did.
In a way that... It
slides. I say that only, like, having watched maybe 1.5 episodes ever.
There's enough to it, though. Like, do you know that someone has some geekiness who writes
that
show?
Yes, I know that, and I've actually read more about it than I've ever seen it.
As you want to do.
I know they legitimately have, you know, references to specific games and specific...
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite things is just looking around the apartment. Because there's just tons of comics and memorabilia. They have, like, Jon Snow's sword, whose name I've forgotten at the moment, and I feel bad for that. Yeah, it's... I mean, they don't tend to go too obscure with their references, though.
No.
It's a lot of, like, you know...
Because they don't want to scare anybody off.
There's not a lot of Wheel of Time. There's an awful lot of Game of Thrones.
Oh, Wheel of Time.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing.
I need this quick story about Wheel of Time.
Oh, please.
So, did you Wheel kill of Robert Time. Jordan? Okay. I started reading this series.
Do you know Wheel of Time?
I'm familiar with it. I have not read it.
Okay, I haven't either.
Oh, then I need to stop.
Well.
Well, so here's how I can generalize
you've
it.
Told me story.
Okay. So, Smike, this story is like a 10-12 book arc where it really could have been 3 books. It was an amazing trilogy. And then they said, Robert Jordan's probably like, I'm making some serious cash here. I should just keep writing books.
Yes.
So
much like the Chronicles of Amber, Roger Zelazny.
Oh, did I watch
which
that?
Went on way longer than it should have.
Is that the one with the city under the ground, or is that...
The city under the water.
Okay.
You're thinking of that. That's
well, the one where the power source is slowly dying and they need to... Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Atlantis?
And no, the movie based on the book came out recently.
City of Bones.
No, it had the word city or something in it. But anyway, regardless, sorry.
Yeah.
I segued you.
That's all right. No, go ahead. You're talking about...
Jordan.
Okay. So back to the story. So anyway, there's a major investment that needs to go into the series, right? There's a lot... These books are thick books.
It's high fantasy.
It's high fantasy. It really starts to meander after book 4. Mm. But it does kind of come back together, and they got these atlases you can watch where it shows how everybody connects. And all these. It's actually pretty cool. So I'm really getting into it. Something crazy happens in like the 6th or 7th book. Like ridiculous, like universe changing.
Like Ned Stark
and I'm
getting
like,
killed?
Kind of I'm just start the book where this happens, and one of my friends who... Still is one of my friends.
Despite whatever happens.
Which should be saying something if they're listening right now. Basically just came right out and said, oh, that book? Yeah, that's when the blah, blah, blah happens. I just was like, and because everything that he said, like, it was within the context where I knew what he was talking about. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Because this thing that happened before it happened pretty much defined the universe and you accepted it for what it was. And it was just this foundation that you were reading off of, and he just shattered it. And so now I'm just like, well, why should I continue reading?
Did you?
I stopped reading.
Wow.
So what I did do is I got all the audiobooks down because as my work commute went to 35 minutes, I used it to fill the spaces, but it just wasn't the same. Like the audiobook, some audiobooks I can listen to and get it all, not this. Anything that gets descriptive like Tolkien or anything like that, you need to sit down and be like, okay, I need to go back like 3 pages because he just like spent these 3 pages talking about this one valley and a flower that's like...
Do you have trouble? I have trouble picturing it unless I'm reading it. That's why I'm not into audiobooks. When I'm reading it, I can see it in my head better. When I'm hearing it, like dictated to me...
I've hardly ever, used the audiobooks.
But have you enjoyed them?
I can't really... Not really. I can't remember enjoying any of them. I mean, they're just... I just tune them out because it just becomes noise pretty quickly.
I'm with you.
So yeah, that was a big letdown for me.
That sucks.
I understand though, because when you're reading a book, it's not like when you're seeing the movie, you're investing like 90 minutes, a couple of hours, 3 hours tops. When
it's
you're reading a book,
3 hours nowadays.
You've got so much time invested, and it's like it's such a personal relationship
it
you
really
have
is.
With
you're the director.
The story.
It's going at your pace. It's you're the one seeing it in your head. No one else is having that exact set of images. Yeah, no, you're absolutely
And for
right.
somebody to come in and just kick down the set, and maybe years building in your head, I can't imagine.
That sucks.
Disbelief unsuspended.
Did I tell you about the Malazan Book of the Fallen series?
No. Oh, by the way, let me just quickly say, you made 2 book recommendations to me a few years ago.
Okay.
And they were amazing.
Oh, House of Leaves.
But it was great because one was very like, yum, 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 eat it up. This is great.
Ready Player One?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's some cool ideas, broad ideas in it, but it was really just like, wow,
it's
just
popcorn.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you just chew through it.
But it was
he never read it. I gave it to him and he like just sat on it.
I'll get to it.
Do you still have it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, because the movie's coming out, so I'm going to want to read it.
It's good.
In like 2 days, because it's so easy to read. And then the other one was House of Leaves.
Oh, House of Leaves. Can I just say, though? So I was reading this book, and this is one you can't audiobook. Like, you have to read it because he's like an artistic author. You have to
audio the Poe album to go with
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I did.
When he dropped that knowledge on me, I was just like, whoa. Because I started reading the lyrics, and I'm just like, I couldn't play it, though, while I was reading because it literally, like creeped me out.
Well, it's a real mind job. So, like, when you're reading about the 5.5-minute hallway, mm-hmm. it's really frightening.
Yeah.
There is a demonic, malevolent intelligence to it. And then you hear her song, The 5.5-Minute Hallway, which is about the time she feels it takes to get to her lover's door. And it's like, not only is it intimately related, but it's like, these are two very different takes on the same concept. Like, what the fuck?
At the same time, if you look at those lyrics, they're like, they're still
kind of creepy.
Pretty disturbing.
Yeah, you're right.
So what I found,
the landlord came today. I knew he'd get it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, like, but on a different level.
The part that really disturbed me was he'd go around talking about the different measurements he was making,
yep.
mm-hmm.
and how it was changing over time. And it's like, this is real. Like, he is writing this stuff down. This isn't like, but it's just a long ass hallway now. It's like a freaking TARDIS, right? It's mm-hmm. like whatever, bigger on the inside, but like. He's like going over time and you just see this progressing and it's like he wakes up the next day and it's still there. Mm-hmm. It's not like it disappeared and you're like, oh, maybe I just dreamt it. It's like that part for me was like very disturbing because it made it very visceral. But anyway, so I was on an airplane because I'd bring it with me of the book and I'd be reading it.
That's a big investment on an airplane.
It was. But like I got stopped 3 different times by different people saying, this is an awesome book. Like, what do you think of it so far? I just like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I've never even heard of this author. Like how are people knowing about this? But
It's one of those, like, not everyone's read it, but the minute you see someone holding a textbook, like,
that is true.
three different directions, you're like, oh, House of Leaves.
Okay. I did fall through the book while I was on a plane.
And it's totally boring shit, but you still fall through. I mean,
it was boring, but disturbing, and that's really what I loved about it.
That book gave me, some of the worst nightmares I've ever had.
And sad.
In its heart, like, I read a little bit about it, like, at its heart, it's a love story. Like, and that's from the author. He's like, this is actually a love story, and it is. But what's so amazing about it is, like, and I'm going to totally segue seemingly, but there's a, did you see Jurassic Park?
Yes.
Did you see Lost World?
No.
No.
Okay. So did you see Alien?
No. What? I know. It's on my list.
Wait,
okay.
Which one?
You've seen Alien and you've seen Aliens.
Yes.
Okay.
So the only two movies in that franchise.
Fair enough. So there's a very, very strong parallel you can make between Jurassic Park and Lost World and Alien and Aliens. And it's like isolation, you know, outnumbered, not prepared, extremely prepared, well-trained, still failing. That's very similar in both of those sets of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I thought was the only really good thing about Lost World, right? And Aliens, I think, was just a much stronger movie, so I don't want to bring that into the equation. But, like, Lost World is mercenaries, super, you know, armed to the teeth, know what they're doing. They've bagged all sorts of big game. There's nothing can kill them. And then, like, there's an amazing scene with these raptors. Like, they're in tall grass, and you just look at it from the top down, and you just see the grass, dark trails of the raptors in the grass. Cool. It's a really great scene. And then, of course, they're getting their asses kicked. My point is that there's a joy to, like, fan service up against reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh man, if I had a big gun, I'd totally take down these dinosaurs. So that's what, like, House of Leaves did times 1,000. It was like, oh, well, I mean, you know, I would totally do that. And then the characters do it. Everything you think logically you would do, they do, and it still does not go well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, there's this mystical labyrinth in my house. I'm going to get a fucking explorer. And they're going to figure it out. Okay, let's see how that goes. Oh, it didn't go too well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just to tag on that, I really love when shows and movies do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They think several steps ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lost Room was a great one for that.
Amazing for that. Did you ever see that?
No.
I've
seen Primer. Can I at least throw that one in the mix?
Yeah, we're not trying to stop being
defensive. I just feel so bad that I haven't seen all these amazing movies.
We're not questioning your cred here.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
You're a neophyte. It's okay.
Well, I feel like I need to give you guys homework to give me a list of just 10 movies that I absolutely...
Well, Lost Dreams definitely... It was a sci-fi miniseries that had no right to be good.
Okay.
But it's... There's a series of objects that all are imbued with powers for a specific reason. It's all very well explained-ish. Every object does something very kind of specific.
But, like, just seemingly randomly
specific. Yeah, there's no actual, like, you don't look at the, like, a radio does this thing and you're like, why? Okay. But, oh, what would what impact on the real world would that have?
For an example, something that's not going to, you know, break up the plot or anything.
The toaster?
There's, oh, I was thinking the pencil.
Okay.
There's a this pencil that great. When you tap the eraser on a desk or a table, it creates a penny.
What?
It's, yeah, and it's full of it's stuff like Twilight like that. Zone
level. But what would you do with that if you had that?
I would be very afraid because I feel like I'd have a responsibility to somehow isolate it because if it got in the wrong hands.
Or would you just tap it all the time?
No. Okay. I mean, I would tap it for a while. And just because like I'd be like, wow, this is great. But I mean, of course, there's the thought of unlimited wealth, but you also have to put in,
but in think
of like the opportunity cost of doing that, right?
Right. Well, you I'm going red, but I'm a bazillionaire. You get one of those chicken, the bobble things, you just like, put the pencil on, you do, penny, do, penny, do.
Honestly, penny. I would probably try to offshore it somehow.
It's well, still... there's a whole secret society around collecting them and buying them, and
really,
the movie—it's a miniseries. Peter Krause is in it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really,
it's
really.
Wow. I have it on DVD. I'll have to lend it to you. Okay, I'm got sold. A list. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Well,
we
did you guys used to do? What was this thing where you said you show me mine, I'll show you yours? Wait,
yeah, no, that was basically it. We were doing that for a hot second.
We did a little bit.
Yeah,
how we got you to watch more Rick and Morty or something.
Yeah, but I was always down for watching Rick and Morty. We just had a good time in. How we got you to watch Halt and Catch Fire.
So messed up movies. Have you guys seen? Mr. Robot is amazing.
When's that coming back?
It's the second season's done. It's filmed.
Oh, right.
Wow. And I'm gonna say the fall. I'm gonna say September.
I was very disappointed Helix got canceled, but I'm really not surprised because the second season was a shit show. Yeah. Go on. You were gonna say.
Oh,
something.
That show's so amazing. The movie is called Alice. It's based on Alice in Wonderland, but it was made by some guy in Hungary, a director in Hungary.
Oh, the stop motion one.
Yes, but with a real little girl.
Yeah,
in
it's
it.
One of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in my life.
It's
so good. I kind of never want to watch it again. Ever.
So good and so bad. But see, like I don't like I hate gory films. The
sawdust from that.
Oh yeah, where he's like sawing himself up. Yeah, I don't know what it is about that man. It freaked me the fuck out.
It took me a while to find it.
So okay, let's take a step back.
Okay,
I don't know what you're worried about. You clearly have very strong geek cred.
I think I'm not worried anymore after this conversation.
Good, that's
all right, good. This was a healing doctor.
We made a break.
Social
film. I'm actually behind.
Fuck so,
you guys sobriety. Freaking, apparently this drink was all right.
It was a lot better than I thought it would be. So let's spin this back to the bat robe here. Have you, you seem to be invested somewhat in Batman.
Here we go.
The story behind this robe, well, there is a story about Batman.
Well,
one of my friends, it's my Batman. Nickname, in one of the circles, my nickname is Batman.
Oh, did you disappear from?
No, what happened actually was I freaked this kid out. He had a literal pan attack because I snuck up behind him. I did the whole under the hand glasses thing, and I went, Batman! The kid literally just like got completely still, turned over to me, goes, leave now. And he like had to leave the house. What? This was like 2003, 2002.
How old was this kid?
He was 21.
What? Okay, time, I was thinking 20. like 9.
No, we were totally just messing with each other. And
I won.
Wow. I mean, we were still friends after that, but you could tell there was definitely a wall put up where this kid was not going to be like opening up his heart to me. About anything ever again.
That's awful, but hilarious.
Yeah, so ever since then, this is like, I was Batman. Hey, Batman. It's really why one friend, Mike Worsner, he's one of my roomies right now, and he calls me Batman still, but...
He stayed in our apartment in Brooklyn.
Yes, yep. Cool dude. Good bud. And yeah, so that's the story of Batman. That's like, and ever since then, I've always gravitated towards it. I love him as a superhero. I love that he's the superhero without superhero powers, but he's super smart. He's a detective, and he's got the gadgets.
Super rich.
He does have shit ton of money, but
so. So I think we know where this is going.
I do.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes. And you know what? Because I was watching it specifically because I was completely worried that Ben Affleck was going to destroy the character. I was pleasantly surprised.
All right.
Because and that's what I keep hearing.
Give us the good counterpoint to our last discussion about
that. Again, we have still not seen the movie.
We have not seen the movie.
Well, I don't think I'm spoiling it, though, because
you don't. We know
we've seen the trailer, so you can't spoil anything. So
Touche. The premise, the lead up, yes, it was way too long because they tried to compress like 5 different movies into one, and that was just stupid. It was just absolutely stupid. I'm sure DC knew that they were going to break records with this movie because they were going to watch it, right? It's Batman versus Superman.
Did they, though? Because they cooled down after one week. Well, you know what? It's still going to do amazing overseas, right. And that's what
I'm
going
to say. I think they were making that assumption.
Yeah.
But I think they weren't thinking the long game because now it's this once bitten, twice shy thing where now when the... So what's the next movie that's going to come out? Suicide Squad. And that's going to be the lead up towards the whole...
Which we actually want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to see that. Jared Leto, yeah.
I keep hearing amazing things about the Joker thing. Yeah. But as we saw in the last episode, Harley looks like she's going to steal the movie.
Yeah, Harley.
She looks like... she really
all the depictions of Harley. I feel like even in like the campy animated series of Batman, like they...
Don't you speak bad about
Batman.
No,
I'm not. I love series. It. Are you kidding me? The 90s campy. One, not the 2000-y one. Like, that one's okay.
The one with Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Yeah, where at the beginning you saw the WB.
Mask of the Phantasm?
I was significantly older than you guys when that came out, and I was still watching that.
Yeah, because it was awesome. Yeah,
it was amazing writing. Anyway, so Harley Quinn.
So Ben Affleck, you did like...
Yes.
I keep hearing good things about Ben Affleck's Batman.
Yes, it was, and that was why I was there to see it. Like, Superman, whatever, man. Like, you're obviously not playing your role properly. You are way too powerful. Yes, we need to question this, but they didn't... The whole approach was just wrong. And Lex did ruin the first third of the movie, but he does tone down.
Does he?
Because he gets more malevolent as the movie progresses. He just kind of snaps at one point, and even though they don't visibly show it that way, you just kind of know he just like, yep, I want to destroy the world now. Like, that's it. Before it was like, I want to manipulate and control the world, kind of like you, but
that's fair.
He just I just want to watch the world burn.
Huh.
So it that part was kind of cool because once he's toned down, you could see him become the Lex Luthor that we've all known, except for the Smallville one, which, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just move on from that. Oh, man, I wasted. So one of my group of friends, I got this new job, and it was on desktop at U of R.
Mm.
They were all watching Smallville. It was in season 8 of 9 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I hadn't watched a single episode. So it was my duty, because every time we go to lunch, and I'm trying to get in with these guys, right? They were just talking about the show, and I'm just like, I just really feel left out. Every day after work, home, pop something in the microwave, bring it into the room, and just watch like 7 episodes.
See,
in
that's
a row.
Dedication. This is what I'm
but
talking about.
It was 176 episodes. And, like, after I was done, and I was like, what did I do with my life? What did I just do to my life?
This is a different personality thing, because I would never do.
You'd go on Wikipedia and read it.
Well, okay, yeah.
My problem is, like, I am somewhat of a completionist. I can't say I'm a complete completionist, which I guess would not make
You're
me a
quasi-completionist.
Like, video games, I at least need to get to the end of some kind of a story arc. But, like, with other things, like watching a show, I want to see the whole thing.
Do you also feel, and it sounds like you do, and again, observation, not accusation.
Observation.
Strongly compelled to fit in like that.
Maybe there's some truth in there.
Bring it
I never.
Back to him. This is what I want.
If it's happening, it's also it's also subliminal, because I don't actively think of these like the whole, I guess, insecure kind of like, am I fitting in with these guys? This was more of a, I would put it more towards the manipulative side of saying, I need knowledge that I can use to let their guard down so I can infiltrate their minds and control them.
Oh, somebody has been reading it or watching and listening to our podcast. One of those things. I forget
I
how these things work. I'm not sure.
Sometimes I'm just generally
on the radio. Where is Buddy's? How do I access this? Do I call the president?
I assume you go to a library and check it out.
Check it out. Right? Okay. Is it? Oh, maybe it's on that compact disc format I hear so much about. we used to go to libraries and get CDs. So I really do want to get into this. And again, this is a safe place that literally no one's going to listen to this podcast. No, it's not.
You can't say that. This is immortalized. You can't say what's going to happen 1,000 years from now.
You think anyone's going to fucking shit
about it? Some guy's going to have like cybernetic arm and a brain floating in some kind of gelatinous fluid.
Are we like wild
this
stallions?
This guy's a douchebag.
Is this like Bill and Ted? We're just two dudes fucking around in a basement, and it's like, oh, yeah. Buddies in space, the saviors of humanity. Yes.
They're still working on getting a third one of those, by the way.
Oh yeah, and I would still watch it, because I showed Erica, Bill, and Ted recently, and it still holds up.
Wow.
This is about you, motherfucker.
Damn it.
So you have all these different friend groups. So, okay, let me share this and get your reaction to this. So Erica recently sent me an article that was great. I'm concerned more and more recently about how unsociable I have become. I used to be very outgoing, and I was definitely a people pleaser, and I didn't like that about myself. But now I've
gone... You didn't like that about yourself?
No,
why?
I did not like that about myself. It was exhausting and disingenuous, and I would not feel well about it afterwards.
Huh.
Unilaterally. There are things about me you don't know, Smike.
Okay.
You think, but you don't know.
Ooh, interesting. I think we should dive into this deeper.
Yes, I agree.
So she said, well, I'm going to wrap it up for you because I got it all buttoned down. So she sent me this article, and it's about how friendships in high school and friendships in college, the premise is your parents dictate where you're going to school, ultimately by where you live, right? Maybe they send you a private school. So everyone in a high school is just thrown there out of life circumstance. You don't really have a choice. So when you remove your reason for being there out of the equation, like, and everyone's just sort of thrown into it, there's a commonality and makes friendship very easy, even mm-hmm. for people who are later going to be socially awkward. In college, like, I know for me in college, I was like, there are things that I like about myself in high school. I'm going to just kind of reinvent myself.
And then I did the same thing.
Right, and we talked about this, and And I made friends really easily there, and I was more the kind of cool, snarky asshole guy I always wanted to be. Too much, but... And then... Like, you have all these friends you've collected, right?
Collected.
Well, okay, you do.
I think, well, this is how it's a very well-written, well-researched listicle. Like, I think it's what a listicle
We'll go to my
be.
Version of this, but go on.
Get on your glass case. No, don't get in there.
Hello, you forgot to put air holes in here. So the whole premise of this article is, by the time you're in your 30s in particular, you're basically not making any more friends, and your friends are dropping off, and that is a necessity. And they did the mountaintop thing, where you have your tier one friends who are at the top of the mountain with you. And these are like your brothers and sisters. You hopefully choose to keep them in your life. They have a very strong effect. Unfortunately, depending on how they came into your life, that effect can be extremely bad, and you may not realize it. And it has like all these graphs and stuff. It's a really good article. And then there's your tier two friends, which are like, they're people you may see a couple, you know, every couple months. And
people you call
them
to help you move.
Yeah. I guess that's a good way to put it. Then there's your acquaintances that you don't dislike, but let's face it, if they moved out of this, you know, the city you're in, you may go 5 years and be like, oh yeah, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. And then there's like everything else. And like, as you get older, especially into your 30s, the life path thing starts to become a real issue. And then it's like, either you have a very strong friendship with that person and it's going to like get strengthened by it, or you're having kids, they're not, or they're having kids, you're not, or they're in a career mode and you're in an artistic mode and you're just going to fucking lose track of each other. And it's inevitable.
Well, you're looking at the finish line at that point and you're seeing all these things happening.
No, you're looking at the halfway point.
Okay.
Because later in life, most people kind of end up at similar spots again. That's the Florida thing.
Oh, right.
You know, it's like, well, maybe you had kids, maybe you didn't. They're out of the house.
Right.
You know, like you're in your 50s and 60s, it's kind of chill time, you know? Hopefully, well, I don't know. I'm 50. My oldest kid, my only child right now, but probably my oldest of several will be just leaving the house, which is why I'm doing all the diet shit. My point is that what I've discovered is, as I'm getting into my 30s, I'm worried that my job is having something to do with it. Working from home, certainly, I think, has affected that somewhat. But I'm not nearly as sociable. We were at an ice cream social for my kid's daycare the other day, and I would own those things when I was younger. I would win the ice cream social.
I was
that
Mr.
guy has three
ice cream
scoops.
Social.
How does he do it?
He has chocolate. No one else has chocolate. There isn't any chocolate here.
He has connections.
People would fling tickets at me when I walked in the room.
I'd walk into an arcade. People would throw tokens. It hurt, but I played for free, bitches. But you know what happened? Eric and I hung out with our kid and didn't talk to anyone. And then we ended up pushing a swing next to another kid whose parent we have talked to before, and I barely managed a conversation there. And that's the state I'm at. And I don't care. That's probably the good and bad thing. I just don't give a shit anymore. Because it's like, I kind of, people in my life.
Anything new is an investment, right? And you've already got the sunk cost of the people that you've already put the time and effort to get to know. Now it's like these investments, if they don't pan out, well now I'm going
to
be in my
more of an investment because, and I said this to Eric, I said, I wish whenever I went to one of these functions, everyone wore name tags and said what they were interested in. No, think
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
Because when you're young.
Speed dating.
And
the social level.
Well, speed friendship.
Yeah, speed friendship.
Speed friending.
Yeah.
Because, and the point of the article is like, there are certain sociological, like there's research, you know, there's like actual references he makes, but there's certain sociological necessities to creating a strong friendship. And it's like X number of actual time spending together without intent, like fucking around and just hanging out in college. Remember I used to do that? I don't do that now. I can't do that. If Mike comes over, we've got a podcast to record. You know what I mean?
You make the time.
We make the time for each other, but we have a point. But I just mean getting, introducing someone to your life in your 30s in particular, the whole point of the article is it's next to impossible. It gets better again later, but there's a point in your life, no matter what you're doing in your life, where friends will drop off, friends will get demoted, and getting new friends in is very unlikely. And I thought that was very interesting. Where is this going? You want to weigh in real quick.
I want
to
weigh in. Yes. Okay. Because I
coming back to you in the end.
Oh, we'll see.
I think I have a rather unusual perspective or history with regards to this, because I have literally jettisoned everything in my past.
We're very similar that way.
Well,
but you're saying more so. You've
more so.
Everything. Childhood.
And from childhood.
Okay, yes.
Not even childhood.
Before childhood.
Okay, yes, before childhood.
I jettisoned the womb and I haven't stopped jettisoning since.
The quick history is I was born in Tennessee. We moved to Arkansas when I was about a year old or less. We lived there until I was about 9. Then we moved to Indiana. I was there until I went to college. When I went to college, I went to Iowa. And after that, I immediately moved to Tennessee to go to graduate school. Ended up going to Long Island.
I need one of those maps with the yarn.
After
the
that.
Yeah, pentagrams. I can see it almost.
And after I was in Long Island, I moved here to Rochester when I was about 30.
Mm-hmm.
I maintain no relationships prior that I established prior to moving here.
Hmm.
I have a couple of people that I like check up on Facebook once in a while.
You're cyber stalk.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
But, that's what Facebook's for.
But yeah, I have none of those people that I would have hung out with or spent time with prior to moving here mm-hmm. that I have any real contact with now.
There's a name for that in the blog, and it's Ulysses the Unabomber. And their mountain is like three tiers of no one. But what you're saying is you filled in people when you got here.
Yes.
Now, did you see it as a loss, or do you see it as just like a fresh start?
I've been doing fresh starts my whole life, so that's just kind of what I do.
Just used to it.
This is how Mike rolls.
Yeah, well, when I was, like I said, we moved to Arkansas, or moved from Arkansas to Indiana when I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not going to really visit friends on the weekend that are, you know, 500 or 800 or however many miles away when I'm 10 years old. So I think I just got into the habit of like, oh, I'm going to a new place. All right, bye-bye. And let's see what I can find when I get there.
Does that make you hesitant towards trying to make anything real with somebody because you think, well, I might have to pack up next week and take off. So
no, because we've lived here. I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere, which is weird to me. But
your roots are planted.
Yeah, the roots are planted. Also, I'm kind of a hermit.
So going off a hermit, my dad works from home. He's been working from home for 4 years now.
Okay.
And I saw the decline of social interactions. It started off with, this is great. I don't have to worry about traffic anymore. I'm saving on gas money. All upside. But still, whenever we'd have any get-togethers and stuff, he was in there. You know, he's talking up the room. He's a very talkative guy. He's a very personable guy. As the years pressed on, it turned into like, it became more and more of a hassle for him to leave his abode, his man cave, which is his office.
Oh, like
and have to trek
right
outside.
Now?
Yeah, and it was just like even today is my sister's 30th birthday. And we all agree we're going to meet in Canandaigua, go out to dinner. And because it's the end of the month, he's a manager, so there's end of month stuff he had to do. And it pushed him. We were supposed to meet for dinner at 6. It was 6:15. He called my mom and said, hey, what are you guys doing? And she's like, have you left the house yet? It's great. And my mom and my dad, their interactions are just priceless. But I could hear him through the speakers. My mom, I don't know if it's just an age thing, but she really cranked up the volume and I could hear him. And he's like, yeah, so, you know, work, I got stuck here at work. So, I mean, so are you guys already eating? Kind of like hearing, like, he's trying to find an out here. Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, this is my sister's 30th birthday.
That's not cool.
Right. But like, at the same time, I can understand there's like the subliminal. I don't think he realizes the progression. Right. I mean, at one point, I'm sure he probably notices, but he probably thinks he's just chalking it up to like getting older. But I really think that working from home does have a huge impact on the way that you want to interact with the world. Like on the hardwired level.
That is interesting, because I don't work from home, but I feel like I'm in a pretty comfortable place with my level of hermitude.
Hermitity.
There we go. I like that.
Hermonosity.
Because I still, there are moments, there are times, like right now, I'm in a stage play, mm-hmm. where we're doing our rehearsing for that, and I met a few new people through that, and that gets me out of the house for like a good month like and a half here.
4 or 5 nights a week for a couple
of years. And that's cool. I'll do this like once every couple of years, and then that's enough.
Now, do you feel like this is like a chore, a workout? It's like, I gotta get out there and meet some people for a couple hours.
No, because I like good doing for me. It. No, no.
It's, okay. Scratching it's the enjoyable. Itch to act for okay. you, right?
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. Yeah, that's a very issue. Different
thing. You're a very strange dichotomy.
Okay.
Like, describing you to people, like, trying to describe Spike. That. Have you ever seen him perform? Have you seen our shows?
I've just always considered Spike to be an undefinable human being, but a great human being, but undefinable.
Speaking of undefinable...
Okay, yeah, I know I'm a very introverted person most of the time.
And then you get on stage and you're...
Right, and my interactions with him personally were very, like, it was almost equal parts of seeing you perform and then seeing you in social situations. So I literally saw these two sides of you in equal amounts.
And I think Mike has seen me enough times now in social situations to see that I get to a point where you're like, so Mike just shut down.
Yep. And I'll call you on it afterwards, but it's like, all right, he needs to do that.
It's like, yeah, I'm done with people. You guys have your fun. I'm just gonna be here in my space.
All of this segues back to you nicely, Justin. So you've talked about some interesting stuff. So I want to try to put a button on this. So you've discovered this geeky side of yourself. So I don't want to say you're transitioning there, but you're embracing that more.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you've lost some, or you've dropped some friendships, or lost touch with people.
Lost touch is better. I mean, there's still stuff that I would have done on a weekly or two times a week. That's not bi-weekly. I don't even know what that's called.
Twice weekly.
Okay. Yeah, I thought there was a cool word for it, but I guess not. Anyway,
semi-weekly.
Yeah. That is it. Wow.
Bi-weekly is 2 weeks. Mind blown. Is twice in a week.
Got it.
Spike's our word guy.
Love it.
I was an English major.
Word guy. There's a name for that.
There's a word somewhere for that. But yeah, so
they moved down a tier.
Yeah, I think part of that was moving out to Ontario. It's kind of a secluded area. You are kind of isolated. I am out there.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful house, but you're out there.
I mean, I still work in Henrietta, so and a lot of my friends weren't in those situations were in Henrietta, so I still have the opportunity after work just to hang out with people. But I don't. Like, I just go home because there's stuff around the house I got to do. And really, I just think I've made the decision that some of these things I was doing are just not what I want to do anymore. They're not giving me any kind of cumulative joy. Like, I'm not building anything. I'm just kind of going out there, doing stuff, and nothing. And then let's just erase the day and pretend this is like Groundhog Day and I'm going to repeat it.
Okay, so there's with this conscious stuff, I'm building,
that's depressing.
Like, but I'm building subjects, like I'm having conversations that can be built on, you know, it's, I don't know, I just think it's completely different.
You feel like too much of it's maintenance?
I think maintaining some of these friendships, or associations in some cases, is maintenance. It is work to do, because you do have an X number of hours in a day,
mm-hmm.
and you have to decide how you want to spend them, and, you know, I'm kind of just... going back through the budget and realizing that I'd rather spend 6 hours on this instead of two, you know?
So you prioritize. So, okay, we're right there. We're right where I've been driving. I started driving an hour ago.
damn it, we almost made it.
So you said you had like your Venn diagram of people and you had all these different groups. So here's my question for you. Here's the closing question to get to the, here's my Marc Maron question. We've moved away from the Chris Hardwick question.
This is it.
So you have described yourself as historically a man of varied interests and friend groups.
Yes.
But what you've described is a far cry from that now. Would you say that that's fair?
Yes.
And you've just walked us through it, the transition that you have both consciously and unconsciously had.
Yes.
It sounds pretty intellectual, sounds like right?
There are several of these circles in the Venn diagram that you are only holding on to because you feel obligated to do so.
I think they're holding on, though, because they just don't know that I've moved on.
So they're holding on to you at this point?
Because in some of these cases...
Do you want to break up with some of your friends right now?
No, I don't. I don't. Because it's...
They're not going to listen.
Because they're not going to listen.
No, but what I'm saying is that would take effort, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and when you prioritize, it's like, well, that's effort I don't want to spend.
So, I mean, so the other way I look at it, and in a way it is a bit narcissistic, is to say that for these other circles that are slowly fading and becoming more transparent and becoming nothing, if they were to stop and some of those people kind of be like, yo, dude, like, where have you been? Like, why are you just falling off the planet? Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's, I think, where there will be a crossroads where I will say, like, all right, I'm going to reinvest in this because I do see a thing there. But that's also, at the same time, not fair to them because I've been waiting for them to make the first move. Like, why am I so special that I shouldn't be reaching out to them?
Well, there's a lot of recent stuff about ghosting and about a relationship. But, okay, well, we're right there. So okay. I'm just going to ask, who is Justin Woodhouse now?
Justin Woodhouse is just a guy that...
No, seriously.
I don't know. Wait, what do you mean? Who am I? I don't know.
What do you care? What's important to you? What do you care about?
Relationships with human beings. I find that after all these years, trying to amass money didn't work out early on. I had that job in New York City for a while. It was paying great, but I lost connection with everyone, including a significant other at the time. Relationships with other human beings and building on similar interests and just knowing that trigger in your brain, the endorphins that go from playing an awesome board game, having an amazing experience, geeking out about movies and coming to the same conclusions that you didn't think anybody else could ever come to. Just like that release that you feel like that's what I want. That's what I want to invest in. It kind of sounds like I'm being a high chaser here, but like that's what I want to focus on. It's just meaningful. It just feels more meaningful.
I don't think that that's an inaccurate description, though. I mean, why else would you want to interact with people? You know, I mean, seriously, on a biochemical level, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at my wife. She doesn't let go of anyone in her life because she just enjoys interaction so much. So she just constantly keeps touch with people. And it's like, it just looks exhausting. But
it sounds like you're afraid of being selfish about like the one thing you should really be selfish about.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's, I don't know. I definitely want to, I make sure that while externally, I try to subtly keep people in check if they're stepping out in that way, if they're being too selfish. But at the same time, I feel like it's quid pro quo. If I'm going to go do that externally, I need to check it inside and make sure I'm being fair as well and not trying to be too selfish. But the subliminal stuff, you can't control it because you don't know what's happening.
Until you do.
But
then it's a decision of, am I okay with it?
Yeah.
And I find, unfortunately, working from home, there are certain things I am okay with that I probably shouldn't be. But
I fear the realizations and then the subsequent decisions. So there you go. That is Justin Woodhouse. Fearing the ultimate decisions.
That's a good answer. That's a fine answer. But I'll close with this. How about this? Did I ever tell you about the like 70-year-long men's survey that recently wrapped up like a few years ago? It was like a Harvard or Princeton thing. I was telling you about it, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I didn't mention it, but it was just like set, like multiple generational survey. Multiple professors conducted it. It was a torch. It was handed off. And it was just following what makes men happy, what makes them healthy and fulfilled. And it just followed men for decades. And in the end, they discovered that the thing that was most likely to make you unhappy was alcohol. Alcoholism particularly was always tied in some way to if you drank a lot, divorce, unhappiness, depression. But we know these things. We know that is the byproduct of heavy drinking. And this is heavy drinking, right?
Yeah.
The madman kind of drinking, sure. Which was normal for a lot of the people in the study at the time. And the thing that was universally found to bring happiness was connection with others. And the guy who kind of got to finish out the study, who wasn't born when it started, which is a really weird thing. But he said, like, I feel kind of corny saying this, but it's like, what we learned is that ultimately, like, being happy is just about love. Like, surround yourself mm-hmm. with people who are important to you and bring you joy. Remove the people who don't. Live healthy, and you will have a very fulfilling life.
Cue the Bob Marley music.
Right?
Having said that, we are so looking forward to having you tomorrow night at our sake drinking thing. Our meetup. Our big sake drinking meetup.
Let's drink till we don't know our names. No, I'm just
kidding. Don't overthink. I admire the amount of effort you're putting into, like, not being hypocrite about selfishness. I think that's really cool. But, like, all I can say is it just sounds like you might be struggling with things that are good for you, and just try to be cognizant of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is unsolicited
advice. I will take all of this constructive criticism, because I feel like that's what I've gotten a lack of.
I am all about moving on from stuff.
Yeah.
Will not meet two people who are more willing to just drop their fucking pasts. I don't remember anyone I went to high school with, except for like three people.
But I mean, is drop it like it's hot the correct way always?
No.
But that's what I'm saying, because like you do kind of have to analyze each of these situations.
Oh yeah.
But don't go into analysis paralysis.
Yes.
Okay.
We had weird backgrounds that I think we both wanted to get away from, different and similar at the same time. So there's that.
Well, I was literally getting away from every background I'd ever had.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
I really want to hear this story.
was in a podcast.
Well, So your podcast, at least the one that I'm subscribed to, doesn't...
Oh, you're on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
You have to go on the website.
Oh, there's an archives?
Yep. Yeah, there's like 30... Yes. This is the 38th episode.
This is great.
We're coming up on 50, man.
What?
Yeah, this is the 38th episode, I'm pretty sure.
I gotta say, though, this experience is crazy because, like, I listen to other podcasts, right? So you guys are just in the mix with that. So you're on that level for me personally.
You have no idea how cool that sounds.
Yeah, I'm getting butterflies right now.
But I just mean, like, on my app. I'm taking my cell phone out. I'm taking my cell phone out right now through my polyester robe, and I gotta tell you that if it lets me.
Oh, is that the ad?
So Podcast Addict is what I use, and you get this grid, right? Boom. Right there. Well, and this is an Imperial Assault board game podcast, which is great. But, like, there it is. So, like, you guys are right up there. And anytime, like, I got the whole list queued up. And I listen to you. So, what's crazy is that, like, I'll listen to you guys. And I'm hearing about your lives. I think it's interesting. And I'm hearing about other people's podcast life. And it's interesting. And then it's like, I broke the wall. Like, I'm here talking to you guys. And it's kind of cool. But, I mean, I know you guys. I've hung out with you guys before. But in this capacity, I consider this podcast kind of like a separation from the rest of the world, because it's a whole other thing going on in here.
Well, we're underground, literally. in a square room filled with sweat and man stink and Star Wars memorabilia.
It's everything I wanted it to be and more.
I apologize for a couple
would you of like no, but to... thank you very much for having me. Actually.
No, thank
awesome.
You. Thank yeah, you for great. Being on here. Before we sign off, would you like to do the ring of the...
Oh, man. Where do I start right there?
So, what's highlighted? So, beautiful. We're Buddies in Space is the podcast name. Skip this. So, read this and then this. And then just put in so.
So I just go right from there to there.
Yeah. So just say the name of the podcast and then boop and then there.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Buddies in Space is a member of the Stolen Dress Entertainment Podcast Network. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
Woo! Nailed it on his first try.
Well, I just lost my job.
It's Mike. I'm gonna prompt you, and I'm gonna just gonna play his snippet. I'll be like, "That was good, Mike, but do it really badly so it's obviously not you."
I've got a great face for radio,
and for podcasting.
Heyo.
You are
Jay Houston Woodhouse.
You are
M. Michael Carassi,
and you are
S. Michael Smith.
We are Buddies in Space. Justin, thank you so much for coming. Give me a hug.
Group hug. Group hug.
Body healing. Body healing.
One love.
In the night. So are you gonna actually listen to this? It's gonna be weird now.
The the thing about, just to tag on the end of this, one of the interesting things about sake, the tradition of it, and when we touch on this,
that's a good point.
We touch on this at the meetups, is that it's meant to be an experience. Drinking sake is meant to be something that brings people together. That's cool. How it's always been in Japanese culture traditionally. So it's not something you don't want to like be drinking sake alone at home. And you've seen, like, you have the little tiny sake cups. One of the reasons they're small is that everybody's constantly supposed to be filling other people's
cups. Yeah, you don't pour your own.
You're not supposed to. That kind of goes out the window after people have had a few. And you're like, just give me the sake. But
that's cool. I like this.
Yeah. The tradition is to always pour for somebody else.
Very
and
cool.
It's meant to be like kind of a community thing.
And it's supposed to be having fun together. Interesting mix of people too. This is not a group you'd be like, oh, they're gonna totally have a good time and hang out. But by the a couple of sakes
it's
in, everyone's
very
just
eclectic, but everybody has a good time.
I get so loud and so drunk. You probably have not seen me like this before.
Really?
I am embarrassed about how I was last time. Wow. I had people close to tears because I was telling them about that Malazan Book of the Fallen and how they crucified thousands of children at one point, and everyone was just like, ugh! And I was thinking to myself, shut the fuck up. You're bringing everyone down. But I was like, I'm going to keep drinking.
I'm already this fired. Just keep going.